The final competition between the women figure skaters at the Calgary Olympic Games attracted the largest Saturday night television viewing audience since the broadcast of Roots. Critic at large Laurie Stone says that much of the judging and the television commentary for the sport was as shaky as a 3.0 performance.
The way I saw the Olympics, the important battle wasn't between the competitors, but between women athletes, particularly figure skaters, and retro judges and reporters. Debbie Thomas, a Stanford pre-med student, is hardly street smart, as a flustered Dick Button recently described her, but her blackness, to which he was really referring, does have meaning. Her minority face and form slice through a white, staid aesthetic. This, combined with her power style, makes her presence radical. Unlike the majority of women skaters, Thomas doesn't jiggle her hips or paste a love-me expression on her face or cast herself in the role of the fragile flower. Her fast-paced dance, full of triple leaps and serpentine footwork, and her frequent choice of rocking, hard-driving music celebrate strength, poise, and the lyricism of self-possession. What lousy luck that she faltered Saturday night. If she'd skated her full-out best, she would likely have won. She was leading the competition. The judges had been broadly criticized for undervaluing the artistic merit of her brilliant short program. Button and Peggy Fleming, hardly flag-bearers for the avant-garde, had noted the resistance of judges to innovation, particularly to the bold, exhilarating ice dancing of the Duchesnes, who skated for France. They performed an openly erotic tango, as opposed to the preferred kittenish one, and in their wild, harsh, long program, abandoned romantic roles and partnered each other equally. By Saturday night, the judges appeared to have gotten the message. Katerina Witt, whose program lacked technical virtuosity but who skated without mishap and with customary seductiveness, earned respectable but beatable marks. By leaving room for Thomas to top her, the judges showed they were ready to be fair, but they didn't get the chance. Landing the second triple jump in her triple-triple combination, both of Thomas's feet touched the ice, and it was downhill from there. Witt got the gold. The biggest winner, though, was Japan's Midori Ito, who, in the wake of Thomas's lead, gave us another minority face and form and presented another athletically adventurous and graceful performance, with triples so high they hovered in mid-air. Ito's uninhibited tears of joy were a tonic, too, amid the customary restraint, a form of feminine detachment as staged as the flirting. Will Thomas and Ito do for women's figure skating what Martina did for women's tennis? Not if ABC's commentators have anything to do with it. Button's tongue would fall off if he had to say the word woman. Fleming, who could barely contain her dislike of Thomas's style, managed to be supportive when Debbie lost, and Jim McKay drooled every time he spotted little Katya, the 16-year-old Russian pairs champ. Endlessly, the female skaters were little girls, lovely girls, poor girls. While Witt made herself odious by straining for glamour, she was still ill-served by the depiction of her beauty as a weapon against Thomas, and then, ultimate sliming, as a prize for skier Alberto Tomba. Put another female in the picture, and you get a catfight. Put a man in the picture, and the woman is no longer even an athlete. Talk about women wriggling under the heel. The most naked parent-from-hell moment was Jill Trenery's father declaring he just assumed she didn't skate. Go, Jill, skate your heart out. Skate his heart out. The one antidote I saw to ABC's swill came from Jack Whitaker. After watching Witt and Thomas, he credited the East German for cracking the mold of the dowdy Sportfrau, and he said he'd love to have Thomas as his family doctor.
Laurie Stone is a New York-based writer and critic and is a contributor to The Village Voice.